Mike, wake up. Take notes on what I'm telling you. He had been informing us about a test that was coming. I had written down what was going to be on the first part of the test, but I had slept through the rest of it. When Brother Jay asked me to come speak this morning, we thought it would be helpful to tell you about a test that's coming. It's a test that Jesus is going to give to those who have received him. It's a heat test, and he wants us all to be prepared. Thank you so much for having me. I couldn't wait to get to Louisa this morning. Normally, Sherry and I never miss our church in Ashland. We have the best church in Hanover County. We do a little talking during the service. The speaker and the audience interact with each other. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Y'all sound a little bit like a Methodist church. I visited a church in Richmond. I was the youngest one. I was the youngest one there. Those folks were so quiet, I almost put myself to sleep. All right, let's get y'all warmed up. Are you looking forward to lunch?
Yes.
Are you going to sleep while I'm talking?
Yes.
All right. Let's look at our passage for today. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 through 15. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. The first 10 times I read that, I kept saying, what in the world does that mean? I was reading over the passage again this morning. It seemed like the Holy Spirit was asking me, Mike, are you willing to prepare? So I want to ask all of you, are you willing to prepare?
Yes.
Let's see who Paul is writing to. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Go back to chapter 1, verse 2. It says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do y'all call on the name of the Lord Jesus here?
Yes.
Okay. Now, just in case anyone still has a question, turn to Ephesians and look at chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. That says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works. It is the gift of God so that no one can boast. Do good works do anything for our salvation?
No.
Correct. We're saved by faith through grace. That brings us into the kingdom. But folks, some folks wandering around, wondering, what do I do next? Look at verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 2. That says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Good works come after we are saved. Remember, this 1 Corinthians test is what you've done after your spiritual birth. Everybody say, after.
After.
All right, now that we got that straight, and we understand that this test is only applies to Christians, not the lost. They don't even get to enter the testing room. I grew up on a farm over in Fork Union. Once a year, this great white truck would arrive. We could hear him coming from a long ways up the road. You better hope you were ready when the truck arrived. We were having judgment day on the farm. Books were open. Interaction and decisions between the Father and the Son. The sorting was completed. The unconverted heathen were loaded on the truck. Condemned to death at McDonald's. Let's talk more about building. One component that's extremely important in building is the materials. What is built depends on the type of materials used. To build something that'll last, you need two things: quality materials and competent help. Did anybody read verse 16 in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? Good. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Who's your helper? The Holy Spirit. That's right. Now, this test is going to be a results-based test, not an effort-based test. I would sometimes put forth a lot of effort in Mr. Harris's class and still get a C. Now, the only person I had helping me was my friend Jim. He didn't know any more than I did. His nickname was Brick. I'm just going to leave it at that. All right, so we know who Paul is writing to. We're talking about building here. Jesus provides the Holy Spirit to be our helper. My conclusion was this is so much better than the English test because God has told us what's going to be on it. He's provided a supernatural helper, and he's going to provide the materials for the work. Look at verse 12. Those first three items are raw materials. They've not been converted into anything. They're also fireproof. If Josh's house burns down, we can go over and help him collect his gold because it'll still be there. So we're going to have building materials that are high value, fireproof, and eternal. In this passage we're looking at, Paul is using what Mr. Harris would call a metaphor. Lots of metaphors in the Bible. Paul and Jesus both used metaphors. Any English teachers in church? Metaphors can be a little confusing. because you didn't pay attention in English class. Jay told me he was a home builder. Do those homes have a solid foundation? He said, yes, all right. He did not tell me he's a foundation builder. He's a home builder. How many of you would like to have a new home? Not that you need one. You just like the idea of a new home. All right. I wonder how many people would just want to have a new foundation built and stop there. You know what I call the area inside my foundation? A crawl space. Too many Christians still crawling around. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Paul calls them infants. Not very flattering. We must build on the foundation. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, overflowing with thankfulness. Jay, do you use high-quality materials that will last? All right. Is there going to be someone that's going to inspect Jay's work? Yeah, the building inspector. Folks, God is in the building business. In Matthew 16, Jesus said he was going to build his church. But Paul said he was a master builder. Is there a contradiction here? No. Jesus builds his church using other Christians in our lives. God provides the materials and God provides the workers to build the building. The Holy Spirit's like the foreman. He brings in workers like your pastors, your elders, and even you to do the building. Brothers and sisters, there are only two things that last forever, and those are your building materials: the Word of God and people. Those are the only two things God will take off this planet: his Word and people. Look, man, our big trucks aren't going to make it. Our toys aren't going to make it. Even my tractors aren't going to make it. They're all going to burn. Can the ladies say amen? In the Christian life, there are four walls you must build on the foundation in order to be prepared for the test. Those four walls are, any note takers in here? All right, look up. The four walls to build are the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing. One more time. The four walls are the Word of God, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing. Oh, no. Did he say witnessing? I'm going to stop listening now. That's my weakest wall as well, okay? Some of you are thinking, he just wants me to go to Mozambique. I don't want you to go to Mozambique. I want you to go to lunch with your friend. Can y'all hear me in the back? Okay. People and the Word of God together build those four walls on the foundation of Christ. Yes, you use the Bible to build the wall of the Word. The Bible is also like the mortar in the blocks of the other three walls. I'm not a master builder. Most of you aren't either. I'm from Fluvanna. We have to keep things simple. I'm going to give you four simple examples of real people who've been building. See which one you can relate to. Look up. Ken is a retired fella in our Wednesday men's Bible study. He decided to stop wasting time scrolling videos and to build for 7 minutes each day reading the New Testament. Ken found that 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Bethany is a mother of five. She's in our Course One discipleship class. She decided to stop watching so much TV and to start building for 7 minutes each morning in prayer. Bethany found that Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Mark and John are in our Course 2 class together. Mark is a little older than John, and he's been meeting with him outside of church, building fellowship. They found that Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. One more. Karen is in our Course 3 class where she learned to share the gospel. Karen has been building her witness to a friend at work. She's now applying Acts 1, verse 8, where Jesus said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of Louisa. If those average people can build for eternity, then so can you. Too many weeks we're putting our time and energy into things that won't last. Come on, men. Our work, our money, our hobbies. We waste time on things with no eternal value. That's too convicting. Verse 13. The day will bring it to light. For a long time, I was a little afraid of this test because I was a stagnant Christian. I wasn't building anything. I'm a natural backslider. You give me an inch, I'll take a mile. Maybe y'all know someone like that. Don't raise your hand. 5 years ago, the Holy Spirit showed me I could start building again. It wasn't too late. As long as you know Jesus Christ and you're breathing, you can start building. What were the four walls? Word, prayer, fellowship, witness. Somebody write that down in case I forget. So what happened in Corinth? In the 2 years after Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, there was vast improvement. The Corinthians were back to building and preparing. He wrote them a second letter that was much more encouraging. And he still reminded them of this test. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may give an account for what he has done while in the body, whether good or bad. He's talking about the same test that we just covered in 1 Corinthians. The Corinthians had become committed to building spiritually in the lives of others. That's what happened to me 5 years ago. I had to tell God that I was committed to prepare. I want to ask all of you, are you committed to prepare?
Yes.
Good. We're not just to become better Christians. We must be building in the lives of other people. That's the second part of the test. We're to help others build in their foundation of the word, prayer, fellowship, and learning how to be a witness. Building happens in tandem. Someone building in your life, you building in someone else's life. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not just trying to motivate you. I'm trying to tell us to get our focus off of things that will burn, and I'm trying to convince us that God will provide for eternal building. Someone's thinking, okay, Brother Mike, how do I get started? That's your homework. And it's two parts. Number one, meet with God every morning for 7 minutes. Read the Bible and pray. Number two, meet with another Christian weekly and discuss who you are going to impact for the kingdom. Once again, meet with the Lord for 7 minutes each morning. Then meet with your fellow builder once a week outside of church. That's how you prepare for the test. Make a plan. Get started tomorrow. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got God's word. And you've got someone to help you. I'm almost done, y'all. Some interesting fellows in English class. Brick, Carl, Bill, Jerry. Brick came in one day very surprised. This is a test? Y'all didn't tell me it was going to be a test? Carl liked to cheat on the test. Nobody knew. He had a little piece of paper stuck up his sleeve. Bill would just skip class on test day. Said it gave more time to study. Jerry was a delightful, honest friend. Later, after I came to Christ, I shared the gospel with Jerry. He said he understood it, but wasn't ready. He came to a 5-week evangelistic study that we had. Still nothing. Had him read the book of John. Still not ready. Read Matthew. Nothing. We threw everything at him but the kitchen sink. Jerry told me the honest truth. He had some habits he was pretty sure wouldn't sit well with Jesus. And he didn't want to give them up. 30 years later, Jerry taps me on Facebook. I've got cancer. I'm ready for Jesus now. Jerry received Christ, was baptized, even joined a Baptist church. He said, I've wasted 30 years and built nothing for Jesus. I'm going to be with the Lord soon. I'll be the one that smells like smoke. Then it occurred to him, I've got a son that's coming to visit me and my sick self twice a week. His son received Christ a few months before Jerry died. Folks, it's not too late to start building. I just want to ask all of you one last time, are you ready to prepare?
Yes.
Thank you.